Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, as it seems, the closer we get to Sunday, Packers-Bears at Soldier Field, the more the temperature for Sunday afternoon appears to be dropping on the just off Lakeshore Drive there where we'll be on Sunday on the south side of Chicago. And boy, this one... it's going to be cold.
This is going to be really interesting, Mike. It's also hilarious as I bring up the weather forecast on my computer here, my Microsoft Surface. First time I've opened it up since Jacksonville, which, as you recall, you and I were sweating profusely in 90-degree weather in Florida. This particular game, currently National Weather Service, high of zero, low of negative 15 on Sunday, which is kind of interesting considering Saturday – they have a high of 31. It's going to drop down Saturday night, and it's just not going to go back.
Yeah, it's not coming back up.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned Jacksonville. You know, we were talking about the 90-degree heat when we were down there. I'm curious, okay, so if Sunday's game in Chicago is zero or perhaps below zero, how many times has it even happened in Packers history where you play two games in the same season with a temperature differential of 90 plus?
Unbelievable.
I mean, it's crazy that this is what we're looking at. But they're talking wind chills of, you know, 15 to 20 below, even if the temperature is at zero or slightly above zero. If the temperature is actually below zero, then, you know, we're talking ice bowl territory.
Well, and as you said too, Mike, off of Lake Michigan, you get those kind of wind gusts and the temperature and the lake effect. I'm really curious to see how this plays out because we're talking about, as you said, I don't want to start throwing ice bowl out there. People throw that out there and it becomes this big, you know, huge, oh, is it going to be the ice bowl again? But, I mean, 0 degree high is challenging. It's going to be challenging for the equipment staff. It's going to be challenging for the trainers. And certainly, and most importantly, challenging for the players to get through this. This is going to be one of those games, I think, when you look back on this season, where, again, Mike McCarthy talked about the character coming out, you know, really reaching down in your gut. You have to show up for this one because, realistically, it's not going to be an easy environment to play in.
Yeah, for sure. And as we talked about earlier this week, it's an environment that both teams are already somewhat accustomed to this year. I think we saw the last 2 weeks at Lambeau Field, the Houston Texans and the Seattle Seahawks had issues with the cold. They hadn't had a cold weather game yet. Houston was dropping passes. We saw passes bouncing off of Seahawks receivers that were then intercepted by Green Bay. The Bears just a couple of weeks ago played in, you know, snowy, cold conditions at Soldier Field in beating San Francisco. So the old adage somewhat is that the first cold game is the toughest one to get through. Both of these teams have already been through it. So it is a matter of reaching down from a character standpoint and saying, okay, we've got to deal with this because the other guys are dealing with it too, and they've already dealt with it before just like we have.
Yeah, and it's, you know, one of the offensive linemen, Brian Bulaga, was asked about this a little bit, a native Illinoisan.
Illinoisan. That works.
About how, you know, a lot of the offensive linemen, including him, haven't even worn sleeves this year. The game against Houston, the game against Seattle, are they planning to change that? Bulaga said, no, I don't wear sleeves. he said back in high school he wore one once, and at halftime of that game he cut it off. It was his mom bought him one of those thermal shirts. He cut off the sleeves on it, and Mrs. Bulaga was not happy about her son's...
not a happy mom.
Getting the shears out. So... everybody handles it differently. Offensive linemen do, guys in the defensive line do. Certainly when you look at Aaron Rodgers, we'll talk about him shortly. He's going to have to make certain adjustments with his calf injury. So it's going to be a big challenge. The other thing to keep in mind too, that surface, Soldier Field is one of the most controversial surfaces in the NFL. It sometimes has a hard time holding up in normal December conditions. Really curious to see how that plays out with that weather.
Yeah, I'm also curious to see exactly what kind of crowd is going to show up on Sunday because, you know, Packer fans obviously like to travel to road games and whatnot. I think there'll be a decent contingent of Packer fans, but you are talking about a Bears team that's 3-10,
right.
And I don't know how many Chicago fans are necessarily going to show up in those types of conditions to cheer their team on. It really could be interesting to see how it unfolds. I know back in 2007, we talked about that one, the super, super windy that day. You know, the temperature was actually in the teens, but the wind chill was way below zero with the wind coming off the lake. I had gotten a friend of mine in Chicago some tickets to the game, you know, sitting like way up at the top of the upper deck. And he said he got his wife to last about three quarters and then they had to get the heck out of there. So could be one of those type of days for the fans as well.
And obviously the last few years, it hasn't dipped down this low,
right?
But there have been some really interesting matchups with them. You think of the 13 championship, the NFC North championship game, where you had like the freezing drizzle that was going on. You even think about last year with the Thanksgiving game, another kind of like right around the freezing mark. This takes it to a new level. But, you know, the Packers in this rivalry with the Bears, they've played through these conditions before and they've succeeded. So it's just going to be another challenge and hurdle to overcome.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've got more of Packers-Bears to break down. Coming back right back with more on Packers Unscripted after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. Wes, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers in the opening segment, and I'm really interested to see exactly how the weather conditions are going to impact Rodgers playing through this game with the injury, particularly the calf injury. Now, he's actually not listed with the hamstring on the injury report anymore. That's been removed, but the calf injury is the big issue, and you know, I don't know. I've never tried to do anything athletic in sub-zero temperatures, let alone with an injured muscle in a lower extremity. So I really have no idea exactly how he's going to manage this and how this is going to go in these types of conditions. But something he's vowed to gut through it. He's going to do everything he can this week in rehab and whatnot to be as close to full speed as possible. And then I guess you just go out there on Sunday and let it rip.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what they would do. I don't know what they would do. But Mike McCarthy's big thing was there is a plan in place. They've talked about this. They've gone over it, how they're going to get him from point A to point B to being able to play on Sunday and play through those conditions on Sunday. And McCarthy not practicing him on Wednesday, said he won't practice on Thursday. Probably will get whatever work he gets, maybe he'll come on Saturday.
Yeah.
But the big thing is, as Rodgers said too, is he appreciates that. There's, you know, that gives him a chance to focus more on the rehab, trying to get back healthy as best as he can, get those fibers to realign as fast and quickly as humanly possible. But this is something they dealt with. They dealt with it in 14. They played with it through some colder conditions in 14 as well. I'm sure they'll go back on those experiences. While it is a different injury and not this quite the severity of the issue in 14, there's a lot of information to be gleaned from that. Rodgers knows his body better than anyone now at 33 years old. The training staff knows what Rodgers went through 2 years ago. So there'll be a plan in place to get him where he needs to get to. But at the end of the day, it's going to be 0 degrees out. He's going to have a muscle injury that he's going to have to work through. And his biggest thing, as he said, is just going to be the pain tolerance and trying to manage that as best as possible.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question he's going to be dealing with pain throughout the game. He dealt with it from the third play of the game on against Seattle last Sunday, and it's a matter of managing it. But you know, he's not a guy who's asking anybody to hang any medals on his neck for playing through pain. He knows there are a ton of guys in the locker room, you know, his own offensive linemen who have dealt with plenty of injuries along the way and stuff like that. But that being said, there is certainly a respect for Rodgers, not just for his leadership and what he brings to the team, but that he does put himself on the line like this for these guys when he wouldn't necessarily have to. He knows he's not 100%. But yet his performance level, even when he's not 100%, seems to reflect what everybody's hoping for.
Yeah, and he, I mean, even look back at last week. I mean, now it wasn't 0 degrees outside.
Right.
But it was cooler. It was Lambeau Field in December. He played all of three snaps with that calf injury and in playing through that, getting the adrenaline going and just finding a way. Now, the Packers did pull him out there at the beginning of the fourth quarter when the decision was kind of at hand. Don't want to expose him to any extra hits that would have been unnecessary. But as you kind of alluded to, Mike, and you look at this offensive line and what they've played through this year and played at such a high level, and there's been injuries along the way. I mean, we had you talk about, we discussed David Bakhtiari's knee injury. That just sort of, you know, it's still, those are things that mount up, but they just fall out of the narrative.
Yeah.
TJ Lang playing through the foot injury. There's so many different levels of this that it's December. Guys understand what's on the line. They understand there isn't much of an error, room for error, even at this part of the season, even though you are on a three-game winning streak. So you have to really clutch up. And that's what Rodgers is doing. That's what the offensive line is doing. And the Packers are hoping it carries them into January.
Yeah, Rodgers has done this kind of thing throughout his career with different types of injuries. Mike McCarthy told the story on Wednesday, kind of his first experience as the head coach going through it with Rodgers as the starting quarterback in 2008. Early in the season, a trip down to Tampa Bay. Rodgers separates his shoulder. And the following week, basically wasn't practicing in a game leading up to Atlanta. They didn't really think he was going to be able to play. He could only throw the ball about 10 yards or so.
Yeah.
They take him down to the Hudson Center. It was a home game. They take him down to the Hudson Center the morning of the game. He's able to throw the ball about 20 yards or so and says, hey, you know, let's go. Let's go play. And McCarthy actually then in the first half forgot about maybe not having him throw the ball deep, called a deep shot on a third and one play. He completes it for a 44-yard touchdown to Donald Driver, despite, you know, a quick glance over to the head coach before the play, like, what are you doing? But runs the play anyway, and that's just that's just the kind of player he is, and there are a lot of guys in this locker room that are like that.
Well, and it's funny, Mike. I mean, we're not talking about what's wrong with Aaron Rodgers anymore. We're not talking about what's wrong with the Packers offense. It's now about, is this guy a legitimate MVP contender?
Yeah.
And I think you'd have to make that argument when you look at this past month, how he's played, the level at which he's played, 150 quarterback rating against a defense that hadn't allowed, 16 points per game?
16 points a game,
Rodgers is breathing life into this team, offense, defense, special teams, whatever phase it might be. And one of the things that plays into it is not only what he does on the field, but, you know, what he's done off the field to make sure that he's still there on Sundays.
Yeah, for sure. And we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but I hope maybe that we're talking about this MVP discussion a little bit more over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But for now, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford joined by Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, there's some injuries the Packers are dealing with still on the defensive side of the ball as well. Mostly good news, I guess you would say, in that it sounds like Clay Matthews still limited in practice but getting healthier. They expect him to be better off now, another week removed from the shoulder injury. And inside linebackers, Blake Martinez and Jake Ryan both seem to be doing a little bit more in practice, at least in the brief workout on Wednesday, than they have in the past. So the Packers getting a little bit closer to full strength, but it doesn't sound like Nick Perry is going to test anything out on the practice field until maybe Saturday, and could really just be a weekend decision as to whether Perry is able to play with the busted hand.
Yeah, and they'll have to club it up and see exactly where he is at in terms of the recovery there, and if he could be not only play through it from a pain tolerance aspect, but if he could be effective. That's what they have to figure out. The positive thing for the Packers is, despite Matthew's injury, despite Perry's not playing, they got production out of a lot of secondary guys with Jayron Elliott, Dayton Jones, Dean Lowry as one of the defensive linemen, so that was positive. Sounds like everything did check out okay with Jared Cook at tight end with the chest injury. He was actually listed as a full participant in practice on Wednesday, so precautionary, kept him out. Looks like they'll have him back. And then when you look at Clay Matthews, I mean, these last few weeks have been a grind for him with that AC joint injury, just trying to find a way to get through it. And I thought one of the things that's been interesting when you look at him, I mean, he didn't have a stat, so to speak, in that game last week against Seattle, but there's still a lot of positives I think you can draw by him being on the field and them having to account for him. So Mike McCarthy said he'll be a week better, and for the Packers defense, that hopes to be a positive.
Yeah, I think this is a good week if the Packers can get Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez back closer to full strength. I think this is a good week for that to happen. We talked on yesterday's show about Jordan Howard and what he's brought to the Bears running game. And when you're talking these kind of conditions, the fact that, you know, the Bears are on a third string quarterback, this is a game that Chicago, I think, is going to really try to run the football. And for as much as the Packers were able to survive it against Seattle, they got a big lead. You know, Thomas Rawls wasn't really a factor for about the last quarter and a half. I mean, by the middle of the third quarter, the Seahawks had to give up on the run game. But if you can get Martinez and Ryan back, then you don't necessarily have to do as much of that Morgan Burnett inside linebacker. You don't have that tight end matchup, a Jimmy Graham type of situation that you're as concerned about with this game. So you can go back to maybe a little bit more of a traditional run defense, the run defense that was performing so well for the Packers early in the season. They need that on Sunday.
Right, Mike. And you look at Burnett, you want him to be a help safety in this game. You don't want him to have to be an inside linebacker, because that's where you really can get a stymieing presence in the trenches there. As you get Jake Ryan back on a more consistent basis, he was really limited these last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe Blake Martinez factors into that. I think Jake or Joe Thomas can help you in that way as well.
For sure.
And then when you can bring Burnett in the box to be that supporting cast, really positive. But at the same time, there were a lot of things, I think, when you talked to Dom Capers, that they did like about that nickel package or whatever you want to call it, where Burnett drops down. And when they see Detroit here in 2 weeks, you would think that that's something that they're going to bring back up on the play sheet, because against a guy like Eric Ebron could be really effective. So just another, you know, weapon in the arsenal for the Packers. And when they needed it last week, when they needed to match Wilson and Graham, was a really successful package for them.
Yeah, for sure. This is a completely different, you know, kind of defensive game plan, you might say, because you mentioned Russell Wilson. You know, Joe Thomas did a great job, you know, in the spying of him and whatnot. You don't need to, you know, have a spy necessarily for Matt Barkley. That's not to say that you just let him scramble and run wherever he wants to, but he's not Russell Wilson in terms of scrambling with the ball. So everything about the defensive game plan, at least the way I see it, kind of gets back to being a little more traditional in a game like this, and then the weather conditions on top of it make it even more so.
Yeah, and we could, as we said, you know, Elshon Jeffrey will be back this week too. I don't know how much passing the ball, how effective that's going to be. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But the Packers much healthier in the secondary as well. That makes life easier for those guys in the trenches too, both the pass rush and the run defense, not always having to sell out there and being able to free guys up. A lot of things to pay attention to in this game, but generally speaking, I think the Packers have to be pleased about where their defense is at, both the performance on the field and also with the health of these guys going in these last three regular season games.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, last three games, Packers defense has allowed only 36 points, and that's about what opponents were averaging scoring during the four-game losing streak. The turnaround here defensively, a lot of it has had to do with health, but also development of young players, getting contributions across the board. It's really starting to come around. So with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, before we go, let's touch on a new member of the Green Bay Packers here. The Packers sign linebacker Jordan Tripp to the active roster. He takes the roster spot of Mike Pinnell, who's been suspended. A guy with some NFL experience. He's been on a couple of different teams. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, this is really interesting. The Packers, really, in the course of a regular season, don't sign a lot of guys off the street. They like to promote a lot of guys within. But when you look at the inside linebacker position, as we were just talking about, how it's been strained and kind of stressed by injuries over the last good part of last month now.
Yeah.
Tripp is an inside backer that could potentially help them. 6'3", 234 pounds. I mean, the big thing with him is going to be special teams. That's where he's kind of, you know, made a name for himself here in his first few NFL seasons. But he gives them some more depth there. And also, you look at his resume. I mean, former fifth-round draft pick out of Montana. He's had stints with Miami, Jacksonville, Seattle. Was actually on Seattle's injured reserve list for the, you know, the better part of the last few months. And then ends up getting injury waived this past week. Goes back home, kind of waits and gets a call. His agent lets him know that the Green Bay Packers want to sign you. Comes to Green Bay, works out, and here he is. So a unique situation. Like I said, Ted Thompson, usually they like to promote within. We don't see a lot of guys come in off the street. But Jordan Tripp kind of getting that crash course now, trying to potentially help out this team during the stretch run.
Yeah, and we'll see if he's able to be active on Sunday. But certainly, as you mentioned, special teams would seem to be his first avenue to the field. And, you know, Packers coverage units have been pretty solid here of late. But, you know, with these weather conditions, you can't just boom kickoffs for touchbacks and you know, and the punting game can, you know, get to be an adventure in these kind of weather conditions. So special teams really, you know, takes another step forward in terms of prominence, you might say, because of the late season weather and whatnot. And this is a guy they feel can help them down the stretch.
Yeah, they needed some bigger bodies. I think that's the biggest thing is that, and that's no disrespect to the defensive backs they have going out there. You need a really nice blend of both. But you look at when they lost Kyler Fackrell for the last few weeks with the hamstring, he was, I think, leading them on snaps on special teams. Now he is actually limited this past week in practice, trying to work his way back after missing three games.
Right.
Jerone Elliott has had to have a bigger presence on the defense, one of their special team stalwarts. You know, Justin Perillo is no longer there. Richard Rodgers was the only tight end that they had this past week. So you need to have some of those bigger bodies that can kind of get in there, both in the coverage unit and also in the return units. Those guys are really versatile. That's the reason why Mike McCarthy's always talked about, you know, carrying a few extra tight ends or carrying a few extra linebackers, because of the multitude of ways that you can use them. Tripp fits that bill. And again, there's going to have to be a learning curve there. He's going to have to get up to speed on things. But I'm sure Ron Zook will be happy to have another guy there to potentially work into that equation after being tested so much so far this season.
Yeah, and I would say if there's an area in football, you look at offense, defense, or special teams where somebody can come in, learn something quickly, and possibly contribute right away, it's special teams. Not to say that, you know, there aren't different schemes across the board, but at the end of the day, there's only so many different types of things you can do.
Right.
And this guy's been with different places. He's learned different playbooks, and now he's got another one to learn. And hopefully you can help Green Bay here the final month. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.